Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, you know, I've said to you, you're very welcome to give us your take on all of this, 086-000-0959. Also very, very happy to take your voice notes and let's talk, you know. What do you make of what's happening right now? I did ask you earlier on, you know, if you are someone who voted, irrespective of whatever party you voted for, how do you feel about what they're considering? Some are still considering what they're considering to do with your vote. How do you feel about those who've already joined different formations? There's a progressive formation. There's now the Government of National Unity formation. How do you feel about all of this? I'd really love to hear from you. The voice notes you can send on 063-688-0959. I've got a political analyst with me on the line, Matlala Setalogile, who is really someone who knows the landscape quite a bit and is going to be here to give us his perspective. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Even to your listeners.
So obviously today, one would say, was quite a big moment for South Africa. We haven't been here before. We haven't seen the president of the country come from a political party, well, since 94, come from a political party that has not gotten the majority, 50% plus one of votes. What does this moment mean for South Africa?
I think, Pamela, today signifies a transition in terms of the political landscape where we're going to see coalition governments becoming a norm in South Africa. And I think there's this notion that we might find ourselves in a crisis of sorts. But the reality is ours is a liberal multi-party democracy. And it is in the very nature of liberal multi-party democracies to have election outcomes as the ones that South Africa just experienced in this past elections. In fact, our democratic institutions and our constitution is designed to actually produce such outcomes. And there's constitutional prescripts in terms of what happens when such outcomes result from elections. So there's no crisis. If you listened properly to the presidential remarks after his inauguration,
yes,
he highlighted the fact that South Africa is experiencing political fragmentation and the spirit needs to be, I'm not quoting verbatim.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, needs to be approached with due care to ensure that there's no divisive elements in society and all of that. But the reality is political fragmentation is part and parcel of an electoral multi-party democracy. So there's no crisis.
Why did you make of the formation, or let me say, what necessitated the formation of the Government of National Unity? We could have all just gone into, the, as you're saying, a fragmented democracy where everybody has a little piece and, you know, everybody just holds each other accountable and so on. Why do you think this was necessary? Because we do know that ordinarily, in most instances, these Government of National Unities are put together at specific times in history. I'm not sure if this necessitated that, or do you think so?
I do not necessarily think that this moment actually necessitated that. As I said, that coalition governments are part and parcel of liberal multi-party democracies. In fact, Pimelo, I caught the tail end of Nobuntu's input when she remarked about the NK posture. To be quite honest, I think a lot of people are asking the wrong questions in terms of the GNU. Whether this was the best possible alternative that the ANC could propose, who should be part of the GNU. But I think the question is, what is the intended endgame of going with the GNU?
I would like you to start earlier. When you unpack this, the question, why was it formed in the first place? And then what necessitates anybody joining it?
Look, as we've already said that South Africa is not necessarily facing any crisis. Also.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So the question is, why would the ANC, ultimately the ANC put this option on the table? The former governing party, why would it go with this alternative? I mean, it had various alternatives. It could have gone with a straightforward coalition government, whether with the Democratic Alliance or the MK. It just needed either of the two parties to actually form a straightforward coalition government. But because the ANC is in a position where its own ideological stances are irreconcilable with those of the DA, and also faces a catch-22 when it comes to forming a coalition with the MK party, that crisis that the party finds itself in, the party actually attempts to pass it as a crisis of South Africa, which in actuality is not. The ANC itself has represented in the past. I mean, the ANC has had convincing electoral victories in the past with 65-66%. At some point, it had a two-third majority. So aggregating a diverse and varied interest in South African society is not impossible. It is possible. The ANC itself has demonstrated that. So the inability of the ANC to service those aggregated interests has led to where we are. That is the crisis of the ANC, not necessarily the crisis of South Africa.
Why is the DA interested in this?
It's quite simple. The DA as a political party, despite the triumphant tone after these electoral outcomes, has kind of reached a ceiling. Before elections, we had what we call pre-election coalition of sort with the multi-party charter or the moonshot pact. That was an acknowledgement of the Democratic Alliance to say that we are aware that as a party, as an individual party, we're incapable of garnering an outright majority in the election. So a coalition government of sorts is the best possible way, or the DA's best possible chance, to actually influence the trajectory of policies at a national level of government. Hence, they took the opportunity.
Well, when you look at, let's say, what we've been given, this framework that the ANC has circulated as a framework that guides their statement of intent, it's pretty much the ANC's policy stance. I mean, let's be frank. Of course, it's very broad and very vague. We don't have the details thereof. I'm trying to understand, even if they come into this formation as the DA, what will that do for their constituency that expects certain outcomes from them? So they do, as a political party that has been in opposition before, they have always pretended, or at least told us, they want a certain kind of accountability. Very, very soon we're told, no, they're not going to be looking at certain things. They're almost changing stance on that. How will their constituency see that?
Pamela, firstly, what we have within the document circulating is a statement of intent. In itself is not an agreement, but to say that a government of national unity has been formed. Secondly, the basic minimum program that the document outlines is not necessarily the policy trajectory that ultimately the GNE is going to adopt. If you look at one of the clauses, the statement of intent actually makes provision for a GNU Lekgotla 6 weeks after the government of national unity has been formed. And it's at that Lekgotla that policies and ideological perspectives are going to be contested. That is where the Democratic Alliance is actually targeting to influence the policy trajectory of the seventh administration of government. Remember that Yes, the consensus on the need to eradicate poverty, to create jobs, eradicate or reduce inequalities, all of those things. But that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you go about it? They might agree that different parties, but these are challenges of South Africa must be, that South Africa must address. But they might differ on how to go about it. And how to go about it will be influenced by the ideological perspectives and ideological views of the different political parties.
Exactly. Which then leads me to the question. You're absolutely spot on that these are very, very vague frameworks with which they're going to be working to put together a government of national unity, and strategies will come out of the Lekgotla, as you've said. So the question then is, what do you think is going to make this arrangement work? We've seen how much they struggle at local government level, because it is exactly the devil is in the detail when it actually comes to implementing these policies. Because when you look at their own policies independently, I know people are saying, no, broadly, they are very close. But actually, quite a number of them are not very close.
No. They might be close in terms of the statements of intent. Is the actual implementation? Remember, policy is what needs to be done in very basic, simplistic terms. There's an issue. What needs to be done? This needs to be done. The second component of that is, how do we go about addressing this? And that's where the differences actually start to emerge. But in terms of the ANC's inability, in fact, before I go to the ANC's inability in terms of public policy or to implement their own policies as an individual party, you touched on the instability that has been prevalent with coalition governments, if I'm not mistaken, at local government level.
Well, it's to your point about the fact that, you know, they still need to deal with the how. We have the framework, and then how do we implement these? And I'm saying to you, well, that's exactly where they differ. And so how are they going to make it work?
Look, you asked, I think, earlier about why did the ANC go with this specific alternative in terms of the government of national unity?
Mm-hmm.
As I said, there were several options for the ANC.
Yeah.
And looking at how coalition governments with the EFF particularly have been at the local government level, the ANC actually did not necessarily opt for an alternative that makes the best ideological sense.
Mm.
But one would assume that they went for an alternative that offers more government stability,
mm-hmm.
while understanding that there will be transactional costs in the process.
Mm.
I mean, this is coalition government. There has to be a lot of game theory that play, compromise, and consensus.
Mm.
And in the process, certain ideological perspectives and policy perspectives are going to be compromised, and that's what we call transaction cost in the entire process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely spot on. And so maybe the question to that point is, can the Democratic Alliance afford that when it comes to, obviously, you said they've reached their ceiling. When they position themselves in this way, where, yes, we are speaking of a government that will collaborate together, but you make the point, they are going to have to compromise quite some on some things. Can the DA, as a political party, afford that going into the 2029 elections?
You know, contrary to the kind of sentiments that we've been seeing in the past 24 hours or so, coming from prominent figures within the DA, the ANC actually holds more bargaining power.
Mm.
Remember that the ANC, as I said, can actually form government with other political parties.
Mm.
On the other hand, the DA does not necessarily have that kind of luxury, despite what they have been portraying in the past 24 hours.
Mm.
So the ANC's bargaining power compared to that of the DA is a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And the DA will be forced to compromise. And anyway, in any coalition setup, compromises are made, especially where we have divergent values, especially in a case like this, where the ANC is coming together to form a sort of coalition, even though they call it a government of national unity. In essence, this is a grand coalition, to be quite honest, with the ANC. And that is the only shot to actually have some sort of influence at policy trajectory at a national level of government.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have to make compromises.
Mm. What are you reading into the MK party's own conduct in this election? Obviously, a lot has happened in the past 2 weeks. But obviously, you're starting to see them say, we had boycotted the first sitting. We are going to go back, though. They were intending to boycott provincial activities as well. And then they've gone back into KZN and they didn't do well there. But what do you make of some of their maneuverings, and what does it mean for governance in general at the moment?
Quite frankly, the MK needs to be characterized for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
More than a political party, the MK is a special purpose vehicle. It's a personal project that was established to attain political aims or political goals that are not necessarily concerned with the well-being and stability of the country. I think we need to characterize it for what it is. You'd remember that the first thing that came out of the MK spokesperson a day after elections, once they saw, the results board at the Results Operations Center tilting in their favor, they said, any party that wants to negotiate with us, a non-negotiable is a presidential party for the party's leader, which is former President Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about the key objectives of the party. Hence, one would actually characterize it as a personal project, more than a party geared towards actually transforming South Africa and ensuring that there's a stable, functioning government.
Do you have concerns with the number of South Africans that put their trust in the MK party with how you've just characterized it?
Not necessarily. Look, we've had an ANC government for the past 8 years.
Hmm.
Because there has been failure in our society for those 8 years to differentiate between party and the state.
Hmm.
And to some extent, this government, a democratic government, there has been a failure to distinguish between those. The ANC government failures have somewhat been translated or registered as failures of a democracy. Hence, you find utterances or anti-constitutional order sentiments finding resonance with some amongst our society. Because the idea here is we've had a democracy for 30 years. But to what extent has that democracy transformed our lives? And the issue here is that some voters have failed to characterize these failures as the ANC government failures and register those as the failures of democracy. So the level of or the amount of people that have put support in the MK is not necessarily surprising,
mm-hmm.
given that the failures of the ANC government have given rise to countless frustrations, disillusionment, and all of that. And in that context, grievances are abound. And that's where we see the emergence of what would characterize as grievance politics.
Mm-hmm. Really appreciate your time. Political analyst Matlala Stalogile is a political analyst, as I said, and giving us his take on what is happening at the moment. Of course, as I said, very willing to hear from you. What do you make of all of this? 086-00-00959. Voice notes coming through on 063-688-0959. Let's take a listen to some of your voice notes.
Good evening, Auspimelo. I think we are heading into some kind of a disaster. The narrative that the politicians or the politics of our country to suggest that when the South Africans went out to go and vote, they had in their minds that they needed a government of national unity. It's a misconstrued information. We are basically starting on a wrong foot, and this is misleading, because each and every South African, when they went out to go and vote, they definitely knew exactly what they're going to vote for. So this narrative that politicians comes with, saying that there's a GNU that has been a story or a narrative by South Africans, it is a misconstrued statement. It's misleading and it's wrong. Basically, it shows that we are starting in a wrong foot with this particular GNU in South Africa. Thank you.
My problem is one. When they campaign, they always say, we're not going to work with this one. We're not going to work with this. Why is it they never tell us the truth? After you've voted for us, we'll work with them. So that next time we know what you are getting up into. Because eventually it seems like much. We are the ones who are pushing them to go into parliament. Decide for us, whereas we've decided with Tina to vote for another party. We never voted for another party.
And that's exactly what I think is going on here. I think nobody can say the voters have said, and I think it is wrong to characterize it that way, because how do we know? How do we know that someone who voted for, Mkhonto we Sizwe was telling Mkhonto we Sizwe to work with the ANC or whoever? You know, we don't know that. People voted for who they voted for, and that the votes were not the 50 plus one is exactly that. But it doesn't mean, I'm not sure, that someone who voted for Freedom Front Plus was telling the Freedom Front Plus to go and work with the DA or the MK party or whoever. I'm not sure. And I fully agree with you. 086-000-0959. Voice notes on 063-688-0959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.